Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 23rd day of January, year 2022. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is communion, a discussion, and updates with Keith from Washington State. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. And we also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah in ancient or paleo Hebrew. Umbri, or Ombri in some circles. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shemai, and welcome to the program. Of course, those in the other half of Wales, Sitmai, and welcome to the program. Cymru Ambeth. Callers are welcome, of course, but we do ask that you mind your manners to the other callers that might be on the line, and also be careful of language as we have a mixed audience. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody calling in will be muted until such time as you indicate to me you wish to speak, and then those will be answered in the order that they are given. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, pastordan.net. We do ask that folks check the Daily Mail page from time to time for any updates there about current events, also the Listen Live page where we put the schedule and how to listen to the program. Sometimes I send out a bulk email with an announcement, but sometimes I don't have time to do that or other problems come along. So we do ask that you go to PastorDan.net, Listen Live page, and check it from time to time for updates on scheduling and also, again, the instructions on how to listen to the program are there. Ame parlons français, bienvenue à l'appel. A mis parientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. And zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. Everybody, welcome to the program. We've got a few verses here to read. Keith said he'll join us probably about 20 minutes into the program, so we'll cover some things until then. First, we want to go to Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. So, again, there is action required on our part. A lot of people think Yahweh is just a genie in a bottle. All you have to do is every now and then when it suits your purpose, you just get on your knees or you just think out loud to your Father in heaven and he's just going to be like a genie and present you with whatever you ask for. These verses don't talk about it so much here, but other verses talk about the fact that your desires, your requests of the Father should be in line with his will. So is it proper to ask that the Father have you win the lottery? In my opinion, no. Now, if you want to pray for the Father to bless you with resources to do his work upon the earth, that's quite different. Then it's up to the Father how he does it. But you specifically telling him what you want, I'm not so sure. Let me know how it works out for you. In my life's experience, that didn't work out so well. Often we think we need something when we really don't. Our prayers ought to be for what we need and not what we want. What we want is often really not so good for us. Then we're going to go here to 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Now, who is he who will harm you if you become imitators of that which is good or doers of that which is good? So, now who is he who will harm you if, again, a conditional statement, if you are doers of that which is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, neither be troubled. I wonder how many believers out there listen to that verse. That's 1 Peter 3, verse 14. Do not fear what they fear. Do you think that maybe is a warning to us, perhaps? You know, what's her face, that young lady that puts up some pretty good videos on YouTube? She just did one about utopia or dystopia. Of course, utopia is a basically a sublime, pristine, everything's good type of situation world. And dystopia is just the opposite, totally upside down, chaotic, absurd, etc. And she talks about this experiment where they took a bunch of rats that were in prime condition and gave them everything they wanted. So these rats or mice, whichever they were in a situation where they didn't want for anything. Temperature was maintained at a comfortable level. All the material to build a nest was given to them. They didn't have to look for food because it was given to them. And she talks about how they become lazy. The men would become either asexual or homosexual. There was fighting going on, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, society fell apart because there was no adversity. There was no struggle. There was no hardship. There was no lessons learned. What's that sound like? Sounds a lot like the United States of late. And you might throw Canada in there as well. The people have pretty much everything they want at their fingertips, and they don't really have to do much work for it. Many don't do any work for it. Those on entitlement programs or welfare or the government, let's face it, most government workers are not overworked. None of the ones I've ever been around. They pretty much just show up and sit in a chair and they get paid, and it's really hard to get rid of them. So again, this society of mice fell apart, and eventually they all died, except a small group that kept themselves isolated from the rest and did not go their way. What's that sound like? Maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel? The ancient Hebrews, our people, the children who did not eat the king's meat or from the king's table, kept themselves pure, following the Father's laws, much like the identity believers today. We do not associate with the rest. We do not go the way of the church world or the mainstream. We go against the stream. We swim upstream like a salmon. Okay? It's a struggle. The salmon actually spend the last moments of their life battling up that stream in order to procreate. It makes them hard. What if somebody picked them up in a big old basket and dumped them all upstream so they could mate? Pretty soon the species would die out, because that's nature's way of weeding out the weak, the sick, the infirmed, etc. And a lot of people say, well, that's cruel, Dan. Well, that's nature. And because of it, the salmon has survived and is a very strong fish to this day, and salmon is very healthy for you. Do you see what I'm saying? Mankind, we've been given so much that now we're becoming fat, dumb, and lazy. And right here, he says, do not fear what they fear. Christ himself said it. Will I find faith upon the earth? What do we have today? Don't have a hell of a lot of faith. We're afraid of our shadows. We're afraid of the government coming to the door. We're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid of dying. Let me know how that works out for you, because last time I checked, there isn't anybody leaving this earth alive, unless you're part of that select group near the end, which some of us may be. Continuing on at verse 15, but sanctify Yahweh El Shaddai in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, with humility and fear or reverence. That actually should be interpreted reverence. Humility and reverence. In other words, you don't gloat over the fact that you have knowledge and you have a position in this world that's different than everybody else. So when somebody comes to you and goes, hey, why aren't you afraid? Why don't you have a diaper on your face? Why aren't you sticking that gene therapy experimental substance in your body so it can kill you? Why aren't you doing that? Everybody else is. Everybody else is kowtowing to the authorities. Everybody else is in fear of a disease that does not exist. Why aren't you? Well, that's when you have the opportunity to tell them why you are not like the rest. Verse 16, having a good conscience that while you are spoken against as evildoers, let's see, the unvaxxed are causing the problem, aren't they? That they may be disappointed who curse your good way of life in Yeshua. For it is better, if it is God's will, that you suffer for doing well than for doing evil. In some verses, versions of the Bible, they say for doing right or righteousness rather than doing evil. So if you suffer for doing what's right, that must be the Father's will for some strange reason. And it does happen once in a while, but that's not the desire of his heart. His desire of his heart is to bless you, as Psalm 91 clearly states. Okay, like I said, Keith should be here in about 10 minutes. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Lord's Supper, and some folks, they call it the communion service. I want to talk about it today, and then next week, it's been requested that we do a little communion service, so we'll do that next week. It won't take very long. It's very short. But the basis for that, there's actually quite a few verses, but I figured we will go to Matthew chapter 26 to talk about it here. And so next week, if you wish to participate, some people don't. It's up to you. It's as you feel led. All you need is a little bit of grape juice or any other kind of juice, or a little bit of red wine, and some bread, preferably unleavened bread. But if you can't find unleavened bread for some reason, then leavened bread. And then we'll do a little short communion service. But it's all, again, based on Matthew 26, starting at 26. As they were eating, and this is, again, at his Last Supper, Yeshua took bread and gave thanks for it and broke it. He gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, the Catholic Church, of course, goes berserk over this and gets it all wrong. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, all of you drink it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. But I tell you that I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. So again, these will be the basis. Then we'll have other verses that we'll read next week. And again, if you wish to partake, then have a little bit of wine and some bread, and we'll have a communion service. Now, I do, years ago, I used to talk about this, the Last Supper. There are some translations where it says, as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And the question became, as you do what? Every time you have a dinner? And my contention was, no, I do not believe the Father wants us to do a communion service every time we have food to eat or have a meal. What they were doing was meeting for the Passover meal. So during the time of the Passover was what he was talking about. When you come together at Passover time, which is a remembrance of what? Yahweh passing over our ancestors in Egypt. Christ's sacrifice became the Passover for us. So it's a yearly thing. Now that's what he was talking about. Does it harm anybody to do a remembrance at other times? No, of course not. It does not. However, what he said was, when you come together in remembrance of my being here at this supper time during the Passover feast, then remember my sacrifice, just as we remember what Yahweh did for the Hebrews that obeyed him and put the lamb's blood above the door. Remember on the lintels and the posts of the door, lamb's blood. In fact, that's something that we don't talk about too often, but today we anoint usually with olive oil or castor oil, which is also known as the palm of Christ. But olive oil, pure olive oil and castor oil could be used to anoint, symbolizing the blood that was put on the lintels and doorposts of the ancient Hebrews so the death angel would pass over. So again, the symbolism is very powerful. So keep that in mind again, and then next week, if you have your stuff ready, we will we'll do a remembrance and share that time together. I see Keith has joined us. Keith, can you hear me? I've unmuted you. You might be muted at your end, Keith. Hello?
Yeah, Dan, can you hear me?
Hello? Now I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I got you. I had problems again getting on here.
All right, well, that's good.
Yeah, all right,
what's
great.
What's that?
I had problems just now getting on here. Threw me off twice.
Oh, okay. I had problems starting up my software this morning myself, so we came very close not even to have a program. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden things weren't working the way they're supposed to. So how are you this fine morning in the dystopia known as North America?
Doing as well as possible. Yeah, much going on. Well, there's a lot going on, but not much going on with me right now today. Just kind of got up about a half hour ago. But yeah, it's certainly is a dystopia, right? I mean, I don't know. Have you been discussing anything yet? Have you been discussing anything yet?
We were just covering a few basics and talking a little bit about communion. We might have a communion service next week, and just giving a little background of that. Some folks would like to do that because most of our people don't go to these boxes called churches today, these dens of iniquity, and they felt that in the spirit that it would be nice to do a remembrance of his Last Supper, so we'll probably do that next week. But that's about all we talked about.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got a, you know, we've got some serious issues going on in this country now.
Mm-hmm.
With the supply chain, we've got big problems coming up here, big trouble. I don't know if the people out there have heard, or I don't know how much people follow the news or what, but I follow like a hawk nowadays. And the truckers are going to be as of yesterday, any trucker entering the U.S. from either Canada or Mexico has to be vaccinated. There was a video I watched the other night about a Canadian trucker who said about 38,000 truckers from up in Canada who normally cross the border are no longer going to be crossing the border because they refuse to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking something of the effect of, you know, 70,000 loads of goods, mostly heading to your neck of the woods, Dan, in Florida they go to, are not going to be crossing the border.
I did hear that, yes.
So this is big trouble. I don't know if people realize the seriousness of this, but this is, I believe, you know, my current train of thought changes on a constant basis because we get new information coming in. We can toss out old information. My current train of thinking now is that the whole COVID bull garbage agenda was to actually break the entire supply chain, which is going to cause hardships for every type of business out there. It's going to cause hardships for people obtaining food they like to eat. You will no longer be able to get what you like to eat at the grocery store, but you'll be forced to buy whatever they have at the grocery store. So we're in big trouble. This is a major, major issue. See, Trudeau up in Canada did the vaccination with the trucker thing first, right? And then Biden did it. So if one of them backed down for some reason, then the other one would kick in. So you had two people who are in control. So, you know, let's just say they're in control. We know they're not. But as my wife said, two fail safes, right? If Trudeau backs down, well, then the Biden mandate sticks. If Biden backs down, then the Trudeau mandate sticks. So either way, you're not getting any trucking into this country from Canada or Mexico. And those are the borders, guys. They ain't coming across the Atlantic Ocean by truck. Okay? And for those of you who don't know, I'm not talking about the people in the chat here when I say this. I got to preface this again. I'm talking to anybody because the people in the chat are very sharp if they're listening to Dan's show on a regular basis. You're all very, very sharp people. But for those of you out there who don't understand what this means, if you didn't know how things get to your grocery store or things get to your local tire shop or things get to your local AutoZone, anything in your house comes by truck. I don't know if people realize this, if they just think it magically shows up at the store somehow, but all of this stuff comes by truck. First, it comes by boat, which they've already backed up all the ships off of the coast of California. And if you notice, they haven't been talking about that much. And the reason why they're not talking about it is because there's not 100 ships off the shore now. There's probably 500 ships off the shore now. Out of sight, out of mind. The ports in China are closing down because of COVID. Okay? This is a serious emergency broadcast this morning here. Okay, Dan, what I heard from the trucker up in Canada, it's on BitChute. I'll post the link in the chat here from this trucker video. It's an 8-minute long video. I suggest everybody watch this video from this trucker said up in Canada. Dan, most of your products in Florida are trucked down from Canada. So, look out, sir. And anyone down in Florida.
Well, anyone anywhere, because to be quite honest, Keith, I'm hearing from people all over the country that are friends and relatives and contacts through this faith, but they're telling me very similar to what you're saying, everything from appliances to spare parts for appliances, spare parts for cars and trucks. Already there is anywhere from a 1 to 3 or 4 month delay. And after the 3 to 4 month delay, they're finding out that it's still not here. I think it was a refrigerator my brother had ordered. It took 8 months before it showed up. So, you know, this is not make-believe. You're right. I think this supply line problem is going to become even more crucial in the coming months.
Yeah, these things just don't fix themselves on their own. Once something gets behind, it's impossible to catch up. Impossible. I don't care what any so-called Jewish expert says or one of our Shabbos Goy ass-kissers says. Once a supply chain is broken or once a factory shuts down to try and catch up again, is impossible. Because they can only produce the line at the factories and the amount of trucks we have are they're not going to – it's a finite amount almost, even though it's not if you understand what I'm saying. They're not going to put 10,000 more trucks on the road, right? No, they don't have the drivers for the trucks. So whatever you got now is what you got. And lots of these truck drivers are walking away. So we've seen the store shelves here. We just tried to put an order in for Costco. We have it delivered to the house because I can't stand going to these stores, neither can my wife, because there's so many idiots in them. So we have pay a little extra to get stuff delivered here to our house here. And we put an order in for Costco through this Instacart company. And we ordered just some basic backup supplies that we like to keep in stock here. We're actually loading up more than 3 months of food now. We're going to be edging for probably 5 months of food at the house that we have as backup stock. So we put this order into Costco, okay? Costco has no canned chicken, zero, not as canned in the store, okay? This is a staple at Costco, is their canned chicken, a staple. Okay, they have no frozen chicken tenderloins, like the breast of chicken, a little tenderloin piece on it. We like those because they're easier to thaw. Okay, no tenderloin frozen chicken in the whole entire store. Okay, amongst other things. We got about two-thirds of our order that we put in. So a third was missing. Here's the other problem that people are going to start running into, and people better start paying attention. We used to buy these really nice top sirloin steaks that were choice grade steaks from Costco, which is one step below prime. You used to get five nice sized steaks in a package, and I don't know what the weight was. I don't go by that. I go by what they look like and how big they are. I don't care what the weight is. And they used to be about $22 to $23 for the package of steaks we used to buy. That same package of steaks the other day was, how much was it? $52.
Wow.
So it doubled. Ribeye steaks from Costco, nice ribeye steaks, used to be about $40, right? They're more expensive cut. Now they're $75. So they doubled in price. So all of your meat, what that tells me is all of your steaks are doubling in price. Now, I don't know who can afford five steaks for $80, but maybe some people can. I don't run in that crowd. I want nothing to do with that crowd normally. So that's a big problem. There's the cost of meat is going through the roof. So not only is the cost of meat going through the roof, but the supply of meat is dwindling. I suggest you all take heed. Back to you, Dan.
Yeah, it's a problem we've been talking about for quite some time on the program. I've told people what all the military guys told me, you better have 3 months of whatever you need to survive, okay? And we're not talking about living the life of Riley here.
Right.
We're talking about survival. So, you know, and I've told people, you know, for years, something that you can get cheaply back then lasts a very long time and will keep you alive. Things as simple as honey and oatmeal and bags of rice or beans, okay? Again, we're talking survival, not having the Ritz-Carlton type 8-course meal in front of you every night. What do you need to survive? You'd be surprised. You need a source of clean water. And I don't believe in storing a lot of water. First of all, it's very difficult to do. Second of all, it could go bad if you don't treat it properly. Also, how are you going to carry it? You're going to carry 55-gallon drums full of water with you? So the next best thing is a filtration system. That way you can collect rainwater, you can go down to a mud puddle, you can go to a lake or a stream, and you can put the water in your Berkey filter or anything like a Berkey filter. It's gravity-fed, doesn't require electricity, and absolutely pure drinking water comes out the other end. Okay? Yeah. Simple things like that, because if this goes to its ultimate conclusion, which is pretty much a shutdown, which it looks like it is, again, the military guy said, if you have a country on the verge of internal strife or civil war, everything goes to hell very, very quickly. And all of the things that you take for granted are not going to be there. So you have to be able to step out of the current situation, which is, again, where we have been spoiled to pretty much have whatever we want. you have to be able to conceive of a situation where you're not going to have all that and think, how am I going to survive? There's no electricity, no running water, no sanitation, no gasoline, no oil, no food on the shelves, okay? What am I going to do to keep myself alive? Because that's all you have to do. And again, I'm quoting the military guys I've spoken to and the books I've read. 3 months is a critical amount. Every one of them agreed on that. 3 months in the middle of total upheaval, you need to be able to duck down, stay undercover, stay put, and just stay off the grid. As well, there is no grid in this situation, but stay out of sight for about 3 months, because in 3 months' time, violence, thirst, and starvation will take care of a lot of the problem. A lot of these brain-dead, diaper-wearing sheep will be gone, okay? The carrion will be chewing them up, and you guys need to be stayed hunkered down in your bunkers, your homes, your cars, wherever it is you feel led to do it, right where you're at, or to take off to the mountains somewhere in a little shanty or a tent or whatever. Again, as you are led by the Father, you need to stay put. And a lot of people don't take it seriously, Keith. I know, because we've talked for 20 years, and yet I still have some of our people who are not ready in any way, shape, or form. There's still maybe 7 days worth of food in their cupboards, etc. They just don't take it seriously. And I think you're right. I think it's time that we should take it very seriously at this time.
Yeah, this is a serious situation here. This is no joke. Here's an example. Not only is our meat prices double and triple, but here's an and now the news is starting to talk about the food shortages, right? They never did. They would touch on it here or there. Here's a full article from Yahoo News. Grocery shortages deepen pandemic as pandemic rages on. Okay, fruits and vegetables are also going to go up in price if they haven't already. I believe they have, but here's an example. So they're going to triple in price your fruits and vegetables too. Okay, here's why. This comes from a guy, a CEO of Awahi Produce, which grows onions, watermelons, and asparagus along the border of Idaho and Oregon. He has been holding off shipping onions to retail distributors until freight costs go down. So they're holding off shipping. Now, the people who are shipping fruits and vegetables, here's what this person also says. We typically will ship East Coast to West Coast. We used to do it for about $7,000, he said. Today, you ready for this? Today, it's somewhere between $18,000 and $22,000. So, there you go. Guess who's paying for that? The people who shop at the store. The freight company ain't eating that cost. The grocery store is not eating that cost. You're going to eat that cost. Literally. So, yeah. I suggest you get to the store today. Orange juice. Any of you guys drink orange juice? It's a staple in some people's dietary needs, right? Orange juice. They love their orange juice. Well, orange juice is going to triple in price. I came across an article. So instead of paying $4 for that quart of orange juice, you're going to pay $12. Mm-hmm. I suggest you wake up. I suggest right. You turn off the football game. I suggest you forget about the video games that you sit around playing all day long. Okay?
Ella sent in some notes here to me. First of all, it won't happen for our folks, but when these people revert to cannibalism, that runs into a disease called kuru. Very, very bad. She also says, protect your food. You can get freezer bags. Very, very inexpensive right now. And put some of your dry bulk foods in things that keep the bugs out. Also, I remember my mother used to put bay leaves. A lot of people forget the old wives' tales and the old household remedies for things. And to keep bugs out of your food, they would put bay leaves in them. And Of course, you have to watch out for the bay leaf when you go do your cooking, but bay leaves will keep them out of there. Also, she said she herself has taken her weaned herself off of pharmaceutical medications, like for blood pressure, things like that. And she says it's better that you get off of them rather than trying to stock up on a bunch of them, because two reasons. One, you're eventually going to run out anyway, so why not do it now when it's easy? And number two, as she has found out, when you wean yourself off of these damn drugs, you're going to feel a whole lot better. And they've got everybody afraid. We talked about fear, that you have to have the pharmaceuticals to live. The truth of the matter is, no, you don't. No, you don't. You can wean yourself off of almost any drug out there if you have the willpower to do it. And you do the life changes, the day-to-day routine things of your life. If you make the proper changes and make the proper changes to your diet, you would be surprised that you don't need these things. Typically, people take drugs so they can continue in their bad habits. I have run into that for 25 years that I've been preaching natural health to people, and they admit it. Well, I take the drugs, I take this, I take that, because I like to eat this, or I like to do that, even though it's not good for me. You see what I'm saying? So if people would just get the willpower to do the right thing, and Keith, it dawned on me while you were talking about all this, you know, an angel sends in stuff all the time about the fact that the Bible talks about our Heavenly Father is the author of all things, and He can be the author of what we consider evil, in the sense that He can use a non-Israelite or a apostate or just a bad actor, whatever race, to do His will, just like He used Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar, to do His will, to get His people to behave themselves. Now, think about this, Keith. All of this crap that's going on, is it not driving our people towards doing things they should have been doing all along? Would you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, eventually it will. I don't know if it is now, Dan, though. I think all I see is these people walking around asleep at the wheel. You know, some people are waking up to what's going on. But, you know, again, I go back and forth with this one. I'm starting to – if you're not awake by now to, you know, forget about waking, the Jewish question, whatever. I'm talking about the supply chain issues, the vaccine issues, the current issues of the day. If you're not awake by this to this by now, there's no hope for you. These are lost causes. Forget about the people. They're done. It's over for them. Continue on with your life. I know some of the family members are completely asleep. Some of mine are. Most of mine are. Most of my wife's are. We have to forget about these people and let them go. That they are going to perish coming up here. Most of these people think that this is going away. This is waning, right? Oh, Omicron's not as bad as they say it is. Forget about Omicron. Look at your grocery store shelves. Okay, this is the true. Like I said a few minutes ago, this is what I believe the COVID was for, was to break the supply chain so you go hungry and you can't get parts for your business to operate your business. Restaurants can't stay open because they can't afford meat because no one's going to pay $100 a steak to go eat at a restaurant. This is the true issue now, is the supply chain. Forget about COVID. If you take the vaccine, well, you're a dumbass. I don't know what to tell you. You know, you're stupid. You deserve what's ever coming to you. That's my attitude now. And I fluctuate back and forth day by day, week by week. That's my current attitude. You take the vaccine, good. You're stupid. Go away. Get away from me. So this is the true thing, because now this stuff is going to affect the people who don't take the vaccine, because you're not going to be able to buy any food. The grocery store shelves are wiped out. I've never seen this before. I'm 50 years old. I've been going to grocery stores since I've been a little kid with my mother. When have you ever gone into your local grocery store and seen anything missing from the shelves before March of 2020? Never. You've never gone to your grocery store before March of 2020 and seen anything missing from the grocery store shelves. You've never, ever, ever seen it. Now, if I'm mistaken, someone please correct me. But you've never seen it empty. And I'm not talking just one shelf. I'm talking the pasta aisle wiped out. The soup aisle wiped out. The deli counter has ham in it. That is it. I don't know how, and I know I've got a serious tone of voice this morning because this is very serious. I can't get canned chicken at Costco. Do you get it yet?
Hmm.
Okay? Guys, is ever listening? You got to wake up. Your family's going to starve to death. Okay, forget about the masks. Forget about the shots. Forget about all this other nonsense. This is the real issue, is this. The others are all distractions. Yeah, you take the shots, probably the mark of the beast. You're probably going to hell. There. You like that? I said it. You're probably going to hell if you took the shot. Dan, back to you.
The seriousness, I think, is there. You're right. I've been a prepper my whole life. So, I mean, I grew up in an Amish area, and the Amish and the Pennsylvania Dutch farmers and all, they practiced large pantries, always keeping a healthy supply of necessary items on hand. Because my parents came through the Great Depression. Their moms and dads, of course, did. So they knew how things can dry up in a very short period of time. So I grew up in that culture. For me, it's hard to imagine not being a prepper. It just makes too much sense. It takes so little effort, just a little bit of planning, a little expenditure, a little bit every week, not a whole bunch at one time. And next thing you know, you've got 6, 7, 8 months to a year worth of stuff sitting on the shelf, or it's preserved in some way that you could go buy and live and survive. To me, it's just common sense. And yet, it's not common. Like you said, so many people just take for granted so many things in this world. It's unbelievable. And again, I think the father is basically telling his children, you know, you've become spoiled. You've turned your backs on me a long time ago. You don't obey me anymore. You're going the way of the world. You're listening to the television set, which is run by our enemy, the Jew. You're following in the footsteps of the Jew as far as, you know, antichrist behavior, race mixing, polluting your bodies with filthy drugs and alcohol and every other demented thing out there. You're going the way of the world. And I'm begging you to come back. And now I'm making it so it's physically difficult for you to disobey me anymore. And yet still people are going to disobey. In fact, they're going to blame God. Wait till we get to that point. They're actually going to, and the scriptures say this, the people will raise their fists and curse God for their misfortune when, in fact, they created their own misfortune. The watchmen on the wall have been sounding the alarm for decades of this coming, and yet nobody paid heed to any of the warnings. And instead, they cursed the prophets, they cursed the watchmen, and now once the watchmen and the prophets are no longer talking to them, they'll curse God himself and claim that their misfortune is his doing, when in fact, in the times of plenty, you didn't do the wise thing and put anything away. Instead, you just became lazy and you took things for granted. And scripture is very, very plain about the people that have that kind of attitude. It's not going to bode well for them. Back to you.
No, they're going to be in big trouble. you know, one more thing to touch on just with the grocery store, and then I think we beat dead horse, right, as the old saying goes. But the shelves, see, the regular people out there, the dumbed-down public, they know nothing, right? They're busy watching celebrity news on television, right? So when they go into the grocery store and they notice that the pasta aisle has only got four boxes of pasta, and then they go to the deli counter and you can only buy ham, and then they go to the soup aisle and there's nothing in the soup aisle and there's no rice on the shelves, what's going to happen then is panic buying is going to ensue. So they're going to buy up everything in the store. So next time you go into the store, there's going to be nothing there. See, it takes the dumbed-down public a weekend or two to be, you know, they go into the store on a Saturday. No, it's getting a little less. The next Saturday they go in. And then the third time they go in, they're like, oh, my God, panic. And they start buying everything up. Okay, and they have no back stock to replace those items on the shelf, so you're out of luck. Okay, that's what's going to take place next is these idiots are going to start panic buying. That's why if you haven't prepped yet, Dan, I think it's too late. I think it's too late to buy one or two extra cans. I think you need to get to the store today, this afternoon. You need to go to the store. I don't care where you get the money from. You got to take it out of savings. You got $500. You got to take out of savings. You better get down to the store and buy $500 worth of storable food, such as canned goods, pasta sauce, canned chicken, canned meats. All this stuff stays good for years. People go, well, what if we don't need it? What if we don't use it? What if it all straightens out? It's not straightening out. Okay, it's not straightening out. There's no wizard that's going to fly in on his magic carpet, wave his magic wand, and all of a sudden you're going to have soup back on the shelf. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Okay, this is it. And people say, oh, Keith, why do you always got to be such a downer? Why do you got to always talk about these depressing things? Okay, this is not depressing things. This is not being a downer. This is called reality.
Yeah.
Okay, this is reality. I know it's hard to believe. It could never happen in this country. It could never happen here. Well, let me in on a little secret. It's happening now. As we sit here, it's happening now. There's probably a bunch of dumbasses in the grocery store right now as I speak, going down the aisle and realizing there's nothing there and they're in full-blown panic mode.
Yeah.
Okay, now you know, with that said, one last thing, Dan. With that said, none of our people should be panicking over this, Dan. Okay? If you're living a life you're supposed to live, and you're living at what you determine to be a righteous life, and no one's going to be perfect. The only perfect person was Christ. He was the only perfect one. So you're not going to be perfect. But at least give it a good try to live a solid life. Okay, if you're living a solid life and you're in prayer every day, and that doesn't mean to be in prayer for 10 hours a day. I pray in the morning and I pray at night and I think about Christ during the day, various points of the day. If you just do that, our Father is going to protect us. Okay, he's not going to, you know, you're not going to come through without some scrapes and bruises and cuts and injuries, and some will perish, but you're meant to, right? Your job is over here. So you have to realize that if you stay in prayer and pray about this stuff and then take action, you must take action. And I'm not joking about taking $500 out of your savings account, because let me let you know another little secret. If you're worried about $500 if something happens for $500, you got bigger problems than that. Okay? $500, whether you spend it on food or leave it in your savings account to pay rent in 4 months when you have no job and the whole thing collapses. Okay, what's going to be more important, the $500 worth of food or the $500 to send the Jew bank, you know, mortgage to delay you, to them foreclosing on you for another month? Food is more important, okay? Because when the economy crashes, the banks are going to be in big trouble. No one's going to get foreclosed on. It's going to be such chaos. So forget about that. Take that $500 today, and I am giving you advice now. Okay, take my advice. take that $500, go buy some food for your family. And if you don't use the food, let's say the wizard does come down, Dan, with a magic wand tonight and wave it over us and everything is cured. Then you can go ahead. You know what you can do with that food? Go donate it. Okay? Go find a hungry white family who lives across town from you in a poor part of town. Fill up your truck with that $500 worth of food. Walk up to their front door and say, hey, you guys look, you know, I don't mean to intrude, but I've got some extra food here, and I don't know if your family can use it or not, but you can have it all. You know how good that would make you feel if you could do that right. for a family, right? So there's a lot. So you have to take all these things into your thought process. Okay, this is not an easy thought process to figure out because you got to stay on top of this stuff. Because if you get behind the eight ball, you're going to be in big trouble. Any of you who need tires for your cars, where do all the tires come from? China. How do they get here? By truck. So if you need tires for your car, you better start looking into tires now. Okay, you need to get your car fixed, you better start looking into getting it fixed now. Okay? You know, and there's a way you can do it. Those of you who don't make, you know, those of you who make, I don't even know how to put this without offending people. Those of you who don't make a lot of money, okay, and you're like, oh my God, well, I need new tires, but I have no money to buy tires. Well, here you go. Okay, what me and my wife do, we go to these places, and they normally have a credit card that you can sign up for. Okay, and here's how you do this. It's very, very simple. They normally offer you a deal. If you put over $100 on the card today, you got no interest for a year. Okay, this is very prevalent. Okay, it won't be in the future because the banks are ready to lock all this shit down, all the credit down. But if you can go to the tire store today and you need tires, get their credit card. You got 12 months same as cash. What that means is you divide up the amount. Let's say your tires cost you $1,000. A lot of expensive tires, right? $1,000, let's say they cost you. So you got to pay the credit card about $80 a month. You got to pay the credit card. Okay, instead of shelling out all $800, you pay them $80. There's no interest, so you're using the Jews' money. Okay, use the Jews' money that they want to give you for free to go get tires on your truck. Okay, there's ways to do this. And if you pay them the $80 a month, by the time the 12 months rolls around, you've paid off the bill and you have no interest being charged to you. So there's ways to do this, get stuff that you need. Now, if you don't have $80 to pay a month, I don't know what to tell you. You got to go find another job. You got to go to work. Okay, I don't know what to tell you. Those of you on a fixed income on retirement, I don't know what to do then. I'm not retired. I still work, so I'll never retire. I don't believe in retirement. So I don't know what to tell you in that case, but you got to start thinking outside the box with this stuff. You know, a lot of people are in financial trouble because they're financially illiterate. It's a little bit too late to get a financial education. I got one about 10 years ago. When I went through bankruptcy proceedings, okay, learned how the whole financial system works doing that. Okay, our bankruptcy was actually audited by the state. Okay, got a big education on how it all works. But that's how you can get tires for your car, if you need tires for your car. People say, oh, it's a Jew credit card. Well, I just explained to you, using the Jews' money. Why not use their money? Right, you got to take advantage of this stuff, guys, now, because soon it ain't going to be available, because Wall Street is about to come down. Bitcoin is already coming down. Bitcoin sits at about 35,000 this morning. It was 69,000 a couple months ago. It's halved. It's down 50%. I told people about this Bitcoin. I said, don't go near it, because it's not a real thing. It's a Jewish con game. They're the ones who invented Bitcoin, not some mysterious Japanese fellow. I've got the article. The Bitcoin whiz kid out of the Jewish newspaper. I forget which one it is, but I've got the article on my computer here. Jewish con game. It's a pump and dump scheme. People say, well, pump and dump schemes are only short term. Says who? Bitcoin, from the beginning, was a pump and dump scheme. If you're still in it now, if I was in Bitcoin right now, I would sell it all. Take my loss, put my cash in my pocket, and go buy some food. Because those of you who think you're going to retire, I hate to break the news to you, but retirement is over. Well, I've got my pension. I work for the state government. I've got my pension. What are you talking about, Keith? Your pension is going to go down the toilet when the stock market crashes. Do you get it yet? These things are all connected. They don't just have a magical pile of money that contains Joe Blow's pension money for the next 20 years. That's all wrapped up with Shlomo Schlekowitz on Wall Street. So you got to live in reality. You got to wake up. Please, I am begging our people to wake up. I am begging you to wake up. Whoa, I got my 401k. What is he talking about? I've got a professional money manager. I'm going to let you in on another little secret. The person handling your 401k at your business is an idiot. That's why he handles 401ks. If he was smart, he'd be on a hedge fund. Oh, God, the local broker at Fidelity is a dumbass. He doesn't care if you make money or if you lose money. He makes money either way because he makes money off the commission.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, Dan. I am so frustrated with our people because I'm constantly hearing people say, okay, what do you know, Keith? You don't work on Wall Street. I don't need to work on Wall Street. I just have eyes to see and ears to hear. Mm-hmm. Like we all should have, Dan, right?
Yeah.
The father
well,
says.
Pastor Bob Jones was on my show one night, and he used to be a broker and out there in Las Vegas. And he said, we used to have a saying, the house made money, the broker made money, two out of three isn't bad.
Right, yeah, I remember him saying that. Yeah, I've listened
right.
to Bob when he was on Wickstrom shows all the time.
Right.
Pastor Bob's a smart guy.
Right. Well, he was right. Two out of three. So their idea, as long as the house, meaning the brokerage firm and the broker, as long as they're making money, whether you make money or not is secondary to those other two items. I want to read a couple things here. Our nurse, Ella, has been sending in. She says, get off your prescriptions now. Get V8 juice. If you can't get veggies, at least get V8 juice. The organic, if possible. Many diabetics can be controlled by diet. Cut out the sugars and the sweets. Throw out your blood pressure cuff. It causes fear. I've said that for years. Your blood pressure varies at all times, depending on all kinds of things. It's pretty meaningless. Watch your pets, because people will be hungry, and your pet will be cooked and eaten. Watch your children for the same reason. Evil will get worse and worse. It's biblical. Do not stock up on artificial sweeteners. All of them are bad for you, especially type 2 diabetics. Buy a staple gun, non-electric. They are cheap, and it can be used to make repairs and as a weapon if needed. Also, a regular stapler can be used to repair clothing tears. Make sure you get plenty of staples. Buy soap bars, disinfectant and cleaning. We used to use soapy wash dishes and for cleanliness, like in a shampoo, which is like Castile soap, which is a very mild, natural soap. A lot of natural things. And when you're talking about tires, another sidebar to that, something I've been telling my friends and close associates and on the show here, is putting nitrogen in the tires. Now, recently, the powers that be have put out through advertising and propaganda that nitrogen doesn't make a difference. It's a waste of money, which is a joke, okay? Great big joke. NASCAR drivers who run on tires that cost over $1,000 each put nitrogen in them for a reason. I've been using nitrogen in my tires, every tire that I own, from bicycles to garden wagons to motorcycles to cars and trucks. And I'm going to tell you, it's the best investment you could possibly make. And the enemy is telling you it's no good because it works. It preserves the rubber tire. Why? Because there's no moisture inside the tire to rust the rims and to cause the rubber to dry rot. So your tires last much, much longer. And now think about this. Who doesn't want your tires to last longer? The people selling tires. And most of them are corporations who are in the pockets of you-know-who, the Jew, and so they want to make you sure that your tires don't last. So again, you know, you can do what you want to do. People say, oh, well, that's too much trouble. Well, that's fine, but I'm here to tell you, because I do it myself, rubber tires that are usually wearing out in 5 to 6 years, I've got tires on automobiles that are 9 to 10 years old and still look like they're brand new. Okay, so you can listen to them if you want, or you can listen to guys like me that actually use this stuff and see the benefits from it. Same thing with the health information we give out. I'm not giving it out and not doing it. I do it. And so do many of my friends and associates and family members. So we see the benefit. If you don't see it, well, okay, that's fine. It's your choice. But we're putting the information out there for you. Yahweh has ways to preserve, and that's what we've given up in this time of having so much so easily obtainable. We've lost the ability to preserve our bodies, to preserve food, to preserve our cars and tires, to preserve appliances. We've had it easy for so long, we are actually abusive in many cases and very wasteful. If you just become, as the Bible says, use all things in moderation and to treat things properly and to be a good husband, whether it's over food, animals, or material things like appliances, if you could become a proper moral custodian of those things, they can be preserved a long time, but we've gotten so accustomed to having plenty and plenty of fake Babylonian money in our pockets that we've forgotten how to be frugal. And I think we need to learn how to do that again. Back to you, Keith.
Yeah, we sure do. That's good advice on the nitrogen and the tires, Dan. I hope people take your advice. But most won't. They'll just go and say, oh, I don't have time for that, as they sit there and do nothing all day long, right? Yeah, go fill your tires with nitrogen. Great idea. I don't do that. I'm going to look into that today. I've heard of it before, but I've never done it. I'm going to look into that today, and if I got to go down to the tire shop to get my tires filled with nitrogen, I'll do it today. The crypto, if you're in these crypto things, I don't know what to tell you, but most of you who are in it don't even understand how it all works, right? Well, the reason why I tell you to get out now is not because I don't think it might go back up again. It could possibly go back up this week again. I don't think so, though. I think it's about done. The big money's getting out because the big money sees the sign on the horizon. Crypto, you can't buy anything with Bitcoin, right? Where can you go use Bitcoin at? Nowhere, unless it's some online company, but whatever. The crypto crash has wiped out more than $1 trillion. Okay, not the big guys. The big guys get out. It's the little people like you who go in and you're buying pieces of Bitcoin. Anytime you can buy pieces of something, here's a word of advice. All these companies now, all the stock market, you know, all the brokerages are moving into the realm of that. The average individual, the average person today can buy any stock they want. They can buy a piece of a share of stock. They can buy a piece of a Bitcoin. Anytime you can buy a piece of something, I would run the other way. If you can't afford to buy a full Bitcoin, you shouldn't be anywhere near Bitcoin, in my opinion. You're poor. If you can't afford to buy one Bitcoin, you're too poor to be investing in Bitcoin. Okay? It's that simple. If you can't afford to buy a full share of Amazon stock, you're too poor to invest in Amazon stock. Okay? You can't buy pieces of things. That's a game. It's a gimmick. It's a scam. Because first of all, if you buy a tiny, let's say you buy $500 worth of Bitcoin today. Let's say you go do this today, Dan. Let's say you get a wild hair up your ass and go buy $500 worth of Bitcoin. Well, here's how it all works, okay? If Bitcoin all of a sudden today, let's say after you buy your $500 worth of Bitcoin, jumps up and doubles in price, well, you just made yourself $500. Big deal, okay? Now, if you buy a full Bitcoin, which is $35,000, and it doubles in price, well, now you made $35,000. Do you see how the little guy always loses out? Do you see it? $500 isn't going to do anything for you. People say, well, it will do something for me. No, it won't. That's like the payday loan scam. Okay, you guys know about the payday loan scam? This is supposedly for people who need, oh, we just got an emergency comes up. You go down to the payday loan company, and you take out a loan for $1,000 to pay off your expense that you had an emergency come up for. And now you're being charged 700% interest a year. Do you see how you lose? If you don't have the $1,000 already, you're never going to have the $1,000. Do you understand? Do you get how the scam works yet? I hope none of you have fallen for these payday loan scams or this buying partial shares of stock or buying partial things of Bitcoin or whatever other ridiculous cryptocurrencies are out there. You don't buy pieces of things. It'd be like buying half a house. Okay? It'd be like buying a car with no wheels on it. It gets you nowhere. Back to you, Dan, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do this stuff, guys. These games are for rich people. The stock market is for rich people. In your many travels through life, okay, and I grew up in a certain area. I grew up in a fairly well-to-do family before we were not well-to-do because of financial missteps that some people in my family took. So we had a lot when we were growing up, and then we had nothing when I was growing up. Okay, stock market and crypto investing and all this investing stuff is for rich people. Okay, now if you want to put a couple extra dollars in the stock market, go ahead, but I'm 50 years old. I have never known anybody to be able to retire on stock market gains. I have known people who were able to retire because they took their money and bought real estate. I've known those people. I've known people who were able to retire because they owned a business. And they kept the business running and went into so-called semi-retirement. I've known people who have done that. But I've never known anybody, not one person. All the people I've come in contact with, I deal with multimillionaires all the time. I deal with them on a daily basis. You know, not one of them. And I ask these people, how'd you make all your money? Wow, you do really well. How did you do this? Do you know not one of them has ever told me they made it in the stock market? Not one. Does that tell you something? All you hear are these failures on CNBC, and that's who they hire. All the people you see on CNBC, all the hosts and everything, are failures or they're con men. Either way. They're either failures or con men. who tell you what to buy, what stocks to buy, this, that, and the other thing. Okay, if you want to seriously invest in the stock market, well, it's a little too late now, but let's say it wasn't too late. And some of you might not think it's too late, which is fine. So let's pretend it's not too late. You better get an education. You better go buy books. You better start studying technical analysis. You better start studying the earnings reports of these companies. It is a full-time job, and you have to be extremely, extremely intelligent to be successful at it. You have to be a mathematical whiz to be successful at stock market trading, okay? So the person who has your 401k, I'm going to say it again, you better look into the guy's background. Okay, who's ever holding your 401k at the big corporation you work for, you better go in Monday morning, go down to Human Resources, and you better tell the big fat lady sitting behind the desk who's got McDonald's and shoving pork in her mouth in the morning that you want to know the man's name and the contact information for the man who holds your money in the 401k. Then you need to get on the telephone, you need to call that man directly and quiz him about your money and quiz him and interview him about his background and what his background is. If you don't do that, you're a fool and you will lose everything coming up here because it's all coming down, guys. All of it's coming down, every single bit of it. And the only people who are going to make out on top are the same folks who make out on top all the time. The insiders. Okay. Back to you, Dan. I'm done on that topic. If you have more to add to it, I would love to hear it.
No, I got out of the stock market, and I never got into it. Actually, stock in the power company I worked for was part of our employment, so I didn't ask for it. And when I left and sold it, made almost nothing. So, and even as a young man in my 20s, I realized the stock market is rigged. And my brother, my dad were all in it. They had stocks and shit like that. And why aren't you investing, Dan? And I said, because I don't invest in things that are rigged outside of my control. If I was one of the riggers, then yeah, I would buy it. But since I don't know what the riggers are going to do, then why would I take the chance? I'd rather put my money in something else. So I determined as a young man that I would put my resources into children. And so I've had children and lots of grandchildren, and that was my investment. I had nothing I wanted to carry with me into old age of material wise, because it's all capable of being stolen or disintegrating or whatever. The Holy Spirit spoke to me as a young man and said that children were far more valuable and important than any of these other things. Ella sent in a couple more suggestions. She goes, if you're only going to buy one mineral supplement, make it magnesium. And I will attest to the fact that magnesium has made a huge difference for me, especially if you have any issues of heart, especially palpitations or arrhythmia. Magnesium is critical. Also, if you read the book Magnesium Miracle by a doctor, she goes into the extreme value of magnesium to the human body. It's used in so many things, but it is crucial to all of the organs of the body that rely on signals such as the heart beating properly, getting a signal from the brain, etc. These signals that go through your body, magnesium is extremely important. Also, she says, ladies, grow your hair and get hair clips and or get lots of bobby pins. Learn how to give your men their own haircuts. Buy nail clippers and toenail clippers. You will need them, and good scissors with a sharpener if possible. I would throw in there also, if you've got you want knives, different kinds of knives, and you want a sharpening stone to be able to keep your knives, your hedge clippers, back to the old school type, the hand kind of tools, keep them sharp, etc. So also for folks out there, another little tidbit from my own backyard experience. If you have gasoline that you are putting into, for instance, I have a motorcycle that I don't ride as often as I used to, I put sea foam. It's called sea foam. It's a liquid that you can put into your gas, and it preserves it for up to 2 years. It's been recommended to me by many of my backyard mechanic friends for years. I finally got some and tried it. It works great. But again, you put it in your gas cans. If you've got gas that you're saving for a rainy day, in the tanks of your cars, your lawnmowers, anything where gasoline is going to set for an extended period of time, say more than 6 months, sea foam will keep it stabilized and usable, and you get a side benefit that it is also an excellent cleaner to clean up any debris or contamination in your gas tank, your fuel lines, your carburetor, your fuel injectors, all that stuff. So again, sea foam, highly recommended. There's another one called Stable, but it's only good for about a year. So I've been telling folks, if you can afford it and find it, sea foam is a better thing. The point of it is that we're all out here. Keith has done his research mightily. I've done mine, Pastor Bob. Many of the listeners here, I recognize their names. They've been followers and researchers for decades. Those of us that have done the work, we did it because we knew this day was coming, just as Keith has talked about. And we said it's the job of the elect, the remnant, to be ready for when our poor brothers and sisters finally have the lights come on and they start crying out for information. That's what we're trying to tell you now. These programs go out to a whole host of people that have only woke up in recent months. And so we're trying to get what we've taken decades to figure out, this information out to you, so that if you will heed the advice of your brethren, that you can come through this storm. We're going to go into this storm. He told us it would be a fiery persecution of the wicked. Now, the wicked could be our people that aren't doing things right. Okay? It doesn't say just the Jewish wicked. It says wicked, period. If you're part of the wicked, you're not going to be in very good shape for very long. So, again, we're trying, those that will heed the advice, you will benefit from it. We're not lying to you. These are things that have been tried and tested by us personally and by our close friends that are all honest and have no agenda. We're not making any money off this. We're not snake oil salesmen like Rockefeller and the rest of his Jewish cabal. Okay? We're in this to get the truth out so that our people can survive what's getting ready to happen. Back to you, Keith.
Yeah, that's for sure, Dan. We're in the midst of it now. I've been warning, you've been warning people for 20-some-odd years. I've been warning people for going on almost 12 years now. Yeah, about 12 years now. That seems like just yesterday. 12 years has gone by so quickly, and I've lost lots of friends. I don't have any friends left. I don't have any. I might have one or two somewhere. I don't know. That doesn't bother me, though. But a lot of you are probably in the same boat, right, Dan? A lot of people have lost friends over this stuff because you've tried to wake them up. You've lost family members who won't talk to you anymore, have tried to wake you up. And it's compounded worse to where we are now, because now you're trying to wake people up to not only the problem we have with these serpent seed snakes in our country and all of our white countries, but now we've got this COVID thing and the vaccination. Some of your family members and friends have probably taken the vaccination, and you're slowly seeing them turn on you because you're not vaccinated or want nothing to do with you anymore, right? So you're like, huh, boy, I thought Bill was my friend, or I thought Jimmy was my friend. What happened? He doesn't talk to me anymore. He won't invite me over because I'm not vaccinated, which is causing some of our people to fall into a depression, Dan. We can try to snap these people out of their depression. We can give them some advice here, because I think we've all have felt, you know, I've sat back many times over the past 12 years and said to myself, boy, why am I keep on talking about this stuff? Why do I find it like my mission to inform people of what's happening, what's taking place in past history, if none of them care? Right? None of them care. They think you're crazy. They don't talk to you anymore. They don't come around anymore. Well, guys, this is the way it's supposed to be. Okay? It's the way it's supposed to be. The people don't want to know the truth. The people don't like the truth. The truth is very scary to a lot of people. You have to understand this. And you go out there every day and you talk about this stuff, or it just comes up in conversation. You know, guys talking to you about the current news cycle. And you fill in a spot and tell them what the real news cycle is. And the guy looks at you like you got three heads and walks away or changes the subject to talk about the weather outside. Okay, the people are scared of the truth. And when you do this constantly on a constant basis, and I've been doing it for 12 years on a constant basis every day, it can bring you down a little bit, okay? Because people aren't listening, the people you love aren't listening to you, your friends aren't listening to you, and all you're doing is trying to help them. I'm sure you don't care if you're right or not. I certainly don't care if I'm right or not on this stuff. I know I'm right on this stuff. I'm not looking for approval from them. I just want them to look into it to help them and their family, and they refuse to do it. So this can all weigh on you. And when things start to weigh on you, especially in the environment now where the supply chain's broken, the stock market's crashing, the crypto market's crashing, the housing market's about to crash, and the car market's about to crash, you're sitting there in your apartment by yourself or your home by yourself because you got divorced from your wife. So you have no wife, you have no mate because you can't talk to anyone in public anymore because they're all a bunch of dumbed-down idiots. You're by yourself, and this can lead to depression. Okay, this is a very sensitive topic for a lot of people, but it's a realistic topic that needs to be discussed, and we need to throw out some things that might be able to help some of our brothers and sisters who might be facing major depression or a little bit of depression. This is very important. What do you think, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I spent a lot of time on the phone counseling people, and depression lately, I would say, is affecting about 30% or so of the people I talk to. Debilitating depression, but for our people, it's more of a mild depression, and they don't like it because our people are used to being very uplifting and light and cheerful and all. And so for them, any kind of depression is something out of the ordinary, and they feel very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, it becomes uncomfortable for people because they don't know what's wrong. They know they feel down. They're probably not using the term depression, or maybe they are, but they just feel down and hopeless, right? It feels hopeless. Well, it's not hopeless. This world is hopeless, but this world has always been hopeless. This is Babylon. This is their world. This is not our world. We're just travelers here. We're visiting here for a little bit, and then we go back to our father. The earth races who are here, they don't go back to any father. This is all they have to look forward to. Most of them don't know it. But that's the truth, okay? We go back to our father. Our people go back to our father. Now, a lot of us are going to be in big trouble when we go back there because of the life we've lived, but all of Israel is saved, as Paul says, to one degree or another. Now, you might not get the rewards that some of the others are getting, but you have a good sense that you will make it through this. Not in this life, but in the other life. This is just a temporary place, okay? Friends, family, remember what Christ said in the Bible, right? He was out there in a crowd of people, and someone came up to him, and I paraphrase all this stuff, guys, because I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm just a guy who studied the Bible intensely for over 8 years now, okay? Every day, for over 8 years, multiple hours a day. So Christ is teaching to a bunch of people or talking to a bunch of people. And what happens? Someone comes up to him. I forget who it was, but he says, hey, your mother and your brother are looking for you. And what did Christ say? He turns around and goes, my mother and brother, my family and brothers are all here. What are you talking about? My mother and my family and my brothers are looking for me. My family's here. What does that tell you? It tells you a lot. Okay, your family's here. We're not all together because we're in different parts of the country, but your family is not your physical family who you grew up with. Your family is not your friends who you grew up with. Yeah, they're your extended family, but the important people nowadays are the people who are looking at their Bible, the people who are studying Bible commentaries by identity pastors. They're listening to shows like Dan puts on. They're going to Dan's webpage and looking at the Daily Mail important articles. They're going to Dan's page looking at the health information. They're going to Pastor Dan's page looking at what weapons they might need to protect themselves with. Those are our family. Those are our brothers and sisters in this chat room over here. Okay? These are the brothers and sisters, the people who frequent the identity sites and know who we are, know where we come from, know who the enemy is, know what we're about. These are your brothers and sisters. These are your friends. I called Dan up the other day. Spoke to him for an hour. You know when the last time was I called any of my so-called friends? Well, I don't have any left, but if I did, never. I haven't spoken with these people in years, my so-called friends. The only people I speak with are my wife, my family members who live around by me, and the people on the internet who I've met. Those are my friends. I don't have any old friends left. How can you have old friends left? How is it possible? Here's the thing, Dan. How is it possible? I can't even speak with the general population who I consider to be my friends anymore. They have nothing in common with you. What do you have in common with them? What, are you going to discuss the Miami Dolphins football team? You're going to discuss who they picked up in the latest trade? You're going to discuss the ball game that went on Wednesday night? You have nothing in common with them. This is why our people are depressed, because our people are trying to live, and I do it sometimes too. I'm not all perfect, right? I'm very flawed. I'm an extremely flawed individual, okay? But I've come to recognize that. Our people are trying to live in two different places at once. They're trying to live in Babylon, and they're trying to live in God's world. You can't do both, right? So you can't serve God and mammon at the same time, right? You can't serve it at the same time. You've got to pick, and you have to pick where you're going to stand. You're trying to tote the tightrope. You're trying to sit on the fence. Well, I'm here to kick you off the fence. And I don't care what side you fall on. Whether you – well, first of all, you can't go back to living your old life. It's impossible. Nobody can when you know this information. It's impossible. So forget that. So you only have one choice. That's to leave Babylon and everything in Babylon behind and come to God's world. Is it hard to do? Yeah, I struggle with it every day. Do I like watching my brothers not have any food at their house? They're not prepared at all? You think I like that? You think I like telling them 9,000 times every year to go get food, go get weapons, ammo, that it's coming to crash and I get called a lunatic? Do you think I like that? No, I don't like it. But I keep on going back to Babylon, right? We keep on going back to Babylon. Forget about Babylon. Forget about the people in Babylon. This is two separate societies. It's being divided now. Christ didn't come as a uniter. He came as a divider. It's written in Scripture, is it not? Dan, is it not?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to divide mother from father.
I bring a sword.
Right, I bring a sword. I don't bring peace, I bring a sword. I'm dividing mother from daughter, brother from sister, so forth and so on. This is all written in Scripture. You think it's just written for the hell of it? No, because he's telling you what was going to take place. Now we're at the time where this is seriously taking place. There is, you cannot hang out with a person who's vaccinated. I'm sorry, you can't do it. You can't do it. They are a different person now. They are the exact opposite of you. I know this is hard to hear, But this is how you're going to get out of your depression. You're going to come to realize that I need to make a choice. You might need to go for a walk today. That's my suggestion today. Go for a nice hour-long walk. Those of you who are feeling a little bit of depression, and you got to work this depression out. There's no pill you can take. There's no drug you can take. There's no liquor you can drink. Okay, that's going to help you get rid of this depression. Only you can do it. And you're depressed because you're trying to walk the tightrope of being in Babylon and being in God's world. I know you all say, oh, I'm not in Babylon. I'm trying to. You are. You are. You're in Babylon. You're living in Babylon still. If you're trying to talk with Joe, your buddy, if you've been friends with for 40 years, is that responding to you? Because Joe ain't the same, man. You ain't the same. You've changed. Over 40 years, you've changed. Joe is still living for the baseball game. Joe is still living for the football game. Joe is still living for his child's soccer game on Saturday. Joe is still living for the office birthday parties and Christmas parties. Joe is still living for his 401k and his vacation in Mexico in August. You can't be in Joe's world anymore.
Yeah.
Okay?
Hey, can
you
I
get out.
I wonder. Amen. Amen. We got a caller. I'll get John here in a second, but I wanted to read this meme that came across my desk the other day.
Dan, I'm going to step away for 30 seconds, okay?
Okay, I'm just going to read this to everybody. Being a conspiracy theorist is spending endless hours for years and years gathering as much information as possible from as many sources as possible and critically thinking about what that information means. Then having people who do nothing but watch television tell you you're crazy. That's the dilemma of the quote conspiracy theorist. And we got John from South Florida. Welcome to the program, John.
Good morning, Pastor Dan. Good morning to all. Yahweh bless each and every last one of you and all of you around the world and in America. You know, I consider you and everyone else here in the chat room and listening to this call, to the program, I consider all of you my family, my white family. And what Keith has talked about is so true. I know some relatives, some of my mother's relatives here in Florida. They've been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and, you know, they've made up their minds. I really don't speak to them that much. As you know, Pastor Dan and all of you here don't know, but not about 5 months ago, 4 to 5 months ago, I did have a nephew who was double vaccinated. He's no longer living. That's right. He made up his mind. A young life wasted. But this is what's out there. I, too, don't have many friends. I can't trust anybody out there anymore. I don't wear the mask or anything. I'm even trying to get my own mother to stop wearing the mask. Now she's wearing a double mask like she did yesterday while I went out with her. I didn't. Because we went somewhere she wanted to buy some fabric. And I told her again to take it off. She wouldn't. But she is still my mother. I love her. But I'll have to deal with her under those kind of circumstances. But this is what the world has become now. Where are we? This morning I have a P.O. box, but I went to it this morning. And after I got through getting my mail, I went to the grocery store, and of course, just about everybody in there, walking in there, yeah, working there too, have that baby face diaper on their face. But I don't believe all of them are vaccinated either. Maybe a big percentage of them are. I don't know what's going to happen to this country, but it's already too late. I mean, what is it, about 1.5 billion people around the world already vaccinated? and more to come? I mean, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't think anybody actually knows, John. All we know is that there are plenty of people that have put this stuff in their bodies, and they're going to suffer if they got the lots that are contaminated. Now, there are some lots that have less contamination, and there are some lots that are placebos or saline solution, and so there's nothing in them at all. So it's playing Russian roulette when you go get a vaccine. What's that?
Pastor Dan, I've been keeping up with this too, but there's some people that are saying even the first shot, which could be a placebo, not everybody did. Maybe there is something in there. But you're right, it's like playing Russian roulette. You may not feel anything the first time you get that first shot, or people got the first shot, and then a couple of months later they return to get their second shot. And that's exactly what happened to members of my mother's family, some of them. I heard that one, not a family member, but a cousin. I have a cousin, a female cousin, whose boyfriend, they both went and got their second shot. He ended up in bed for about a day or two, because he was feeling really, really bad after he got that second shot. And she also told me and my mother that she didn't feel too good, but not as bad as her boyfriend felt. So, see, the thing is working. It's destroying their bodies now. Also, my uncle, my cousin's daddy, from what I understand, I heard a few days ago that my mother got it from her niece, that now he's got his booster shot, he's already got his third shot, and he's still alive. But I don't think that's going to be for long, and I've told my mother that, but then she doesn't like it when I speak like that. Oh, he's going to pass away, or that's going to kill him. So I don't know where his health stands right now, but I'm sure he's being eaten up inside. That's why I don't believe, I really don't believe the stories I'm hearing from my mother's family. I mean, how the heck can you go through a second shot and not feel anything? Or even get a booster shot? That's impossible. Because it's all recorded. I mean, they're taking their cards in to get this shot and that shot. And not only that, everywhere I go, I mean, there's a huge park down here in South Florida, Miami, Florida. And that's one of the biggest park by the county. Generally on weekends, I'm seeing long, long, long lines all the way out to the road for people in their cars waiting to either get tested and shot or both. I don't know. But I have seen many, many people there. And when Omicron or variant, it put a lot of scare on people again. They still went back and got their second and third shots. I'm convinced now that it could be in the millions now in America. We could have like anywhere from 5 to 8 million people dead already, maybe a little
still
more.
Still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Oh, you? Is there?
I can hear you.
Okay, I can hear all of you. But I don't know, man. The stuff I've been hearing, I listen to other podcasts. We're going to see a lot of people pass away, or they're going to depart the earth this year. So many people, I don't know, but it could be, 25,000 a week dying in the next couple of weeks? I mean, we're going to find out.
Well,
that's basically all I have to say.
John, they better repent before they pass away. See, this is the whole thing. If they don't repent before they pass away, they're in big trouble, I guess. I really don't know. But it's going to be very,
I've got
very...
some... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say some notes had come in here. Ralph says he adds 50% potassium to his magnesium to balance it. And he's an older fellow, and he was out for 2 hours in the Canadian winter up there shoveling snow at 0 degrees, and he's fine. So... living proof. And then Heinrich says, my experience is that vaxes for folks have had immune capabilities. So, and people don't behave the same after they get this stuff. Ralph says James McCanney, Professor McCanney, thinks only one-third of Americans got any shot at all. So, again, the media lies, so he could be right. And then Heinrich says here, supposedly there's a video that's been washed off the web in which Aaron Rodgers of the NFL said that all NFL players are unvaccinated, and they are lying to the public per their NFL contracts, which require them to say whatever they're told to say.
So basically,
and that would not surprise me.
So a lot of NFL football players are not vaccinated. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what Aaron Rodgers had supposedly said in this video. Actors, celebrities, politicians, medical people, that's been caught on film over and over again where you see the person in the video picks up a syringe, there's no needle on it, or there's no fluid in it, or whatever, and they pretend to go through the getting a vaccine when they're actually not, because they know this stuff's got poison in it, okay? So a lot of these people that claim they've gotten them and there's no effect, they actually didn't get one anyway. They're liars. If they're any kind of celebrity or having a FaceTime in front of that camera, odds are that they have gone through and got a, at the worst case, they didn't get anything because it was all staged. Or if they did actually have something put in them, it was saline solution because too many people were watching. But they're lying about all this stuff. They lie. Whereas the little people, like my cousin, who went into the hospital after a motorcycle wreck, 2 weeks later, he's dead in the hospital from a heart attack, and he was healthy as a horse. Okay? But I'm convinced they put the garbage in his body when he came into the hospital. But you can't. How do you prove it? If you don't have access to the records, you can't prove it.
Well, Pastor Dan, you're right. Nobody really knows for sure how many people got the clot shot, whether it's one, two, or three in this country. No one knows for sure. But my belief is that it has to be more than 50% of people that have gotten it. Maybe that's wrong. But the podcast I've been listening to as of the last couple of weeks, it seems that many, many people, and basically many Democrats, the bulk of them across this country, have gotten that clot shot. Nobody really knows how many got the clot shot, but I'm sure it amounts to the millions in this country. That's why I'm convinced that a lot of people are going to keep dying, and it's being unheard of now. I mean, it's not being recorded that people are dying of these clot shots. They're saying, oh, they died of COVID this, COVID that, COVID this, COVID that. And then you look at the ages of a lot of these people, where the hell are they? You got young people that are just disappearing off the face of the earth. I was listening to Steve Quayle. He talked about something like this, where the cell phone companies have had to, delete or turn off a lot of telephones, lots of them, in the last year or something like that.
Well, yeah, a lot of people are harmed. And the only way that you know you got the bad substance put in you is when you have adverse reactions to it, because virtually everybody's going to have an adverse reaction. It may not be life-threatening, and it may not last forever, but you will have some sort of a reaction to it. I have a close family member who's in the medical profession, and she had to file a VAERS report for the reactions that she's got. They tried to get her not to file it, and she filed it anyway. So she's in the process of fighting with them because she got a notice that she needs to go get a booster, and she's told them that she will not put any more of this crap in her body, period, under any circumstances. Because
hello?
That nobody can tell what causing it, knows how she's got it. And again, she's a senior nurse with lots of training, lots of experience. And she goes, I have no, there's nothing in all my training and books that says what had caused this. What was that?
No, nothing.
Oh, I thought I heard something.
Well, anyhow, I believe that the numbers are quite high for those that have been vaccinated in this country, but I just have that little belief in me that many millions of people in this country are now dead because of all this.
Well, of course. And Ralph brings up another good point, and people need to be aware of this. As gruesome as it sounds, there is a lot of money in people's organs. And he mentioned my cousin, who was in very good health. He was only in his 60s, but he was in very good health. And all of a sudden, he's dead in the hospital. How do you know they're not stealing the organs of these people in the hospitals? How do you know that? Because once they wheel the body out of the room, you don't have any idea what they're doing. And they ship the body to the morgue, and the mortician prepares the body. You, as a family member, have no idea what they've done to your loved one. That's why I'm looking into the Death with Dignity folks, and I've written to Sam Simpson, who wrote the book Honoring My Mother and My Father, how she had her mother buried naturally with no trip to a morgue, did it the old-fashioned way, and there's ways of doing that. You prepare a legal document, get it notarized, stating that upon the person's passing over, there is to be no mummification, so to speak, okay? So, again, we've gotten away from all the natural things that our father put here, and whole industries have grown up. Our bodies, the taking of the foreskin from our little boys, the taking of the babies ripped out of their mother's womb, whole sick cycle industries have grown up around the criminality and the immoral people, quote, in authority and supposedly educated people to convince us that the unnatural, the immoral, is the right way to do things, where the natural and God's way is not. It's sick. I mean, everything is upside down right now. We are, if we're not in the end times, man, we're missing the perfect chance to be in it. So.
Yeah, the perfect chance to be in it, right, Dan?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to go ahead.
We're pushing all the right buttons to be at the end of the age, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, we're here now. There's no guessing. This is it. We're here. And I think it's very short time that we have left before our king comes back, but that's just my opinion. Because I believe lots of people are vaccinated in this country. I believe it's almost close to two-thirds people are vaccinated. I had a guy tell me the other day, he said to me, he goes, you know, you and your wife are the only ones who I know who aren't vaccinated.
Wow. Okay.
There's lots of people who are vaccinated in this country, guys. They believe in the medical system. They believe in vaccines. They believe, right. Yeah, this guy was in sales who told me that. He said, you're the only two I don't know who's not vaccinated. So this is lots of people are vaccinated. Lots of people have no idea what's going on. Lots of people are wearing their muzzles out. They're wearing their muzzles outside walking down the street. I've seen that pick up recently where they're walking down the street with their muzzles on by themselves outside with their muzzles on. So I think that people who are saying that, lots of people who are, and this, again, this is a jab at anybody, or this is just my opinion, from what I see and what I observe and when I talk to people, that most people are vaccinated. And the people, most people who aren't vaccinated, when it comes to choose between their job or the vaccination, they are probably going to end up taking the vaccination. It might not be right away, but it will eventually take. They will eventually cave and take the vaccination because they need to have money coming in to feed their family with whatever food that's left on the grocery store shelves. These are end times, in my opinion. As I said in the past, these are end times. We're here now. There's no escaping it. You're not getting out of it. There's not going to be a turnaround. There's no one like Trumpy Bear coming to save you. DeSantis is not going to save you. The criminal governor from Texas is not going to save you. They are all in on it. They are blackmailed. They are satanic pedophiles, more than likely. So they're not coming to get you. If you notice, they're continuing to divide the so-called conservative Republican right. Now they're dividing it further. How are they dividing it further? Well, now they're pitting Trumpy Bear against DeSantis, right? So it's further dividing out our people, because our people are so fooled by the system. They have to believe in this system for some reason. It's very strange. So now you've got, instead of all the these Trumpy people being for Trump, now they're causing division in the Trumpy camp. They're going to DeSantis and Trump are battling it out now, right? It's all theater. This is all a big game to these people. None of it's legitimate. There will never, ever be a legitimate candidate. Here's how you know. There'll never be a legitimate candidate. Because whoever gets financed by the enemy serpent seed creatures wins the election. They're only going to finance people who are in their pocket. Do you get it yet? Stop voting. Stop it. You're just contributing to the system. If you go and vote, if any of you go and vote in these midterm elections, or if there's an election in 2024, if you go and vote, you're part of the problem, in my opinion.
You know, so, who proved what you're saying?
The other day, this pertains to the food shortages or the supply line. The other day, I had read somewhere online that a lot of local truck drivers in the United States, local I mean anywhere in a radius of driving, I'd say about 200 miles and back to their home terminals, a lot of them have been vaccinated. And then this morning I read somewhere where about half of the truck drivers in this country are vaccinated. Whether they double shot or one shot, I don't know, but that's what I read. But I find that very hard to believe, because many drivers know that have been through the hospitals before, vaccinated before this COVID, know that they would have side effects. So that's why, in a way, I believe it, and in a way, I don't. But there could be some truth to that as well. I mean, right now, I've noticed this, because I drive tractor trailers too, but I've noticed that a lot of companies, up until just a couple of months now, have raised their cents per mile pay, and they're continuing to do this. They're losing drivers, and they're trying their best to keep as many drivers as they can. But now, with what's going on between Mexican drivers coming in here and Canadian drivers coming in here and American drivers going into Canada who are not vaccinated, this is getting crazy. It really is. And you know what? It's scary as hell.
Yeah, it sure is, John. Scary is a good word for it.
The one good silver lining in all this is it's forcing our people to do what we've talked about for decades, and they just don't do it. And that is support local businesses, local industries, the local farmer or rancher that does it right, that you can know him, you know what he does, you know what he feeds his animals, you know that he properly takes care of them. We've completely ignored that, admonition that's been given for decades. We've told people you vote with your money, okay? Your vote at the ballot box means nothing at this point in time, especially. But what you do with your money and your time has an impact. If you support the organic farmers and ranchers, especially the local ones, okay, cottage industries are already starting to pop up to replace what we can't get by truck and from other countries. We should never have gotten dependent on external supplies coming in here. Never. That was the stupidest thing, but it was done on purpose because it did exactly what they wanted. It made the Jews lots of money because they own the shipping companies, they own the factories in China where they get stuff made for almost nothing and then sell it here at standard prices. So they get huge profits. So they don't care that it ruined us and set us up for what we have happening now. They don't care. They made their money. They're going to run off to their mansions in South America and Central America or go back over to that shit stain called Israel over in the Middle East, okay? They don't care what it's going to do to the white Americans and white Canadians because they've made their money. They've already got their rich estates built up in the mountains and the greenlands of other countries where they can live like princes for the rest of their life. They don't care what's going to happen here. They don't even care what happens to the poorer group of Jews that walk this earth, because Alpha Jews don't care what happens to the Beta Jews, because they're totally psychopathic. They have no empathy for anybody, even their own kind, if they're not part of the elite structure. Okay? So it's not hard to figure out why this stuff is happening. If you look at it from the viewpoint of an Antichrist, God-hating, white Christian-hating Jew who owns the media, who owns the medical, who owns the pharmaceuticals, who owns our government officials, well, everything that's happening makes perfect sense. They said they're going to take over the world and rule it from Jerusalem, and Trump aided and abetted that little ploy. So Trump is not one of us. I mean, my God, people, wake the hell up. So everything in Scripture, everything the prophets told us is happening right now. The only thing that's good out of all this is the ones that wake up and return to the Father, return to common sense, return and off the land as we were told to do from the time Adam was put here. We don't need factories. We don't need pharmaceuticals. We don't need Chinese-made shit coming into our country. What we need is to live like men and women naturally with maybe a little hardship, a little work. You have to actually get off your ass and do something. You may not have all your toys. Guess what? Nothing in Scripture says the Father promised you an easy life with all kinds of entertainment and toys. He told you, I'll give you what you need, not what you want. I'll give you what you need. And if you're willing to live a clean, honest, righteous life, well, then the things we need are here right now. They're growing. I've got some of them growing in the cracks of my driveway right outside my house. Destroys kidney stones and gallstones. Destroys them. And it's a weed growing. Well, we call them weeds, but you actually eat the weeds, because the weeds, 99% of the time, what they're calling a weed is a medicinal plant. But they don't want you to grow it, and they don't want you to think anything positive of it, just like dandelion, one of the most nutritious plants in America, and they got you putting poisons on your yard to get rid of them. Do you see how we've been deceived? Okay? And yet these things are growing in spite of all your efforts. Dandelion is still here. These other plants are still here. That's how strong they are, and their so-called will to survive. These plants will survive even with all the machinations of our retarded white Christian people believing the Jew propaganda to tell you to put poisons on plants that God put here to make you better. Instead, you poison your yard and run off to a doctor, typically a Jew, and get him to give you a pill when the thing that could have solved your problem is growing right outside your back door, but you don't know it. Ignorance is what our problem. Our people suffer from a lack of truth or knowledge. Our people suffer from a lack of vision. They can't even envision a righteous life without all the trappings of this Babylonian system, the rules, the statutes, the regulations, the laws, the intrusiveness, the taxes, the fees. They think that's normal. That's not normal. Where do you think all this stress and depression's coming from? You're trying to live a righteous life in a Babylonian system. It doesn't work. So first, mentally, you have to come out of this system. Mentally, divorce yourself from this world of make-believe and phoniness out here. Then work with the Father to physically remove yourself from this system. And now, I think Father is putting the plan in place that you're going to be vomited out of this system, whether you like it or not. If you're going to stay true to the Father, if you're going to stay true to the reality of this world versus the make-believe, you're going to be vomited out because they don't want you. They'll actually try to kill us if they can get away with it. I don't believe a Father's going to let that happen. If you're one of his children, Psalm 91 says we're going to see all kinds of crap happen around us, but it won't come under our door, okay? So you stay strong. We're going to float on a boat, and we're going to have to do things that we might not normally do and not have all of our toys and our entertainment. But if we stay on the boat, eventually that water is going to recede, and you're going to be back on the land again. And guess what? All the bad stuff's gone. Think of the beauty of this world with none of the bad actors. They're all dead. They're all being eaten up by the carrion out there, and we're the only ones left. Is that not paradise? We just have to be able to survive. Back to you guys.
Yeah, we got to survive. So go out for your walk today. Those of you who are suffering from a little bit of depression, go out for your walk today and seriously think about coming out of Babylon. And they say, well, I'm getting out. I'm out. No, you're not out. You're still in it. I'm still in it. I fight with this every day. I try to get out of it, and I get drawn back into it by somebody. It's unbelievable. But you're gonna this real separation has already started. It's going to hit you more hardcore. It's going to be vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And the vaccinated people, their brain chemistry is being changed. They're going to become violent and angry over you not getting a vaccine because they think that you are getting them sick. They think that the unvaccinated are the carriers of this so-called COVID virus. Okay? So you must come out of Babylon. You will not be depressed anymore. I'm absolutely convinced of this, that I will not be would not suffer from depression anymore. Even I get a little depressed sometimes because we've been living in Babylon I've been living there for 50 years since I've been born. It's hard to stop something right away. So you have to do this in little increments. There's probably somebody out there saying, I'm going to stop living in Babylon today. I'm done with it. You can't do it like that. You got to wean off it, right? You got to wean off it. It's like an alcoholic or a drug addict, right? You got to wean off the drugs, or you got to wean off the alcohol. You got to wean off the food if you're overweight and trying to lose some weight. You just can't do it all at once. It's not how things work. So go for your walk today in the park. Think about how wonderful God is. Think about separating from Babylon. Don't call your old friends anymore. You know what's going to happen if you stop trying to contact your so-called old friends who are vaccinated and know nothing of what you know and haven't looked at anything you've presented to them over the past decade and a half? Okay, if you stop calling them or stop texting them, you know what's going to happen? You will never hear from them again. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
They won't contact you. Stop. I will bet you now, a gentleman's bet, no money involved, the gentleman's bet, that if you stop contacting the people who used to contact your so-called buddy Joe and Dan and your buddy Fred and all these other people out there, Eric, whatever their names are, Susie, whatever it might be, you will not hear from them. Believe me, it happened to me. I did a test this year. I didn't wish anybody a happy Thanksgiving. I didn't wish anybody a Merry Christmas. I didn't wish anybody a Happy New Year. I didn't wish anybody birthdays this year. Okay? If you stop reaching out to them because they already think you're weird, okay, they want nothing to do with you because if they start hanging out with you and you start talking weird things, they get uncomfortable. So stop contacting them, and they will stop contacting you. It will make it very easy for you to get out of Babylon very slowly. If you stop contacting them, they won't contact you anymore, I guarantee it. You're different people now. Okay, you're awake. You know the truth. It's different. That's why you're suffering from a little bit of depression, because you're trying to walk that tightrope. You're trying to sit on the fence still. Well, time to kick your ass off the fence, and time to fall off the tightrope. And there's only one way to fall, and that's into God's world and out of Babylon. Okay, I'll end my thing with this here, and this is the most important thing that you can realize in this life. Your life all stems to Genesis 3:15. For those of you who don't know what Genesis 3:15 is, I suggest you study and learn what it is. Okay, this is where our Heavenly Father said that you are basically at war with another seed line. There's two seed lines on this earth that matter. Okay, you've got our people, the white Caucasian race, and you've got the serpent seed Jews. These are the only two races that matter. I hate to tell you all this, but it's true. Okay, the other races are just collateral damage. They're just earth people. They dwell here so either our people can get them on our side or the Jews can get them on their side. Okay, that's all they're here for. That's it. This is good versus evil with cannon fodder or collateral damage thrown in. Okay, the Jews' mission with this vaccine is to kill you and your family. They don't care about the Mexicans. They look at them as collateral damage. They don't care about the little Jews out there. They look at them as collateral damage. Some of them die from the vaccine. Well, they're collateral damage. We got a bigger picture here. These are very patient people. They think of a long-term plan. The problem is our people think short-term. That's the problem with our people. They don't think long-term. We think short-term. The Jews think long-term. So, with that said, your life boils down to Genesis 3:15. Okay? It doesn't mean to be mean to the other races. The Mexican guy at work who works with you, if he wants to talk to you, be cordial with him. We're supposed to be cordial to these people. Okay? It doesn't mean to be mean and nasty and be a son of a bitch. Okay? It means to be cordial. Doesn't mean to go to barbecues with them and have your daughter marry into the family, right? Okay? But be cordial to them. They don't know any different, guys. These are... We're special. I don't know how else to put it, but we are special. We're a special people, and the Jews are a special people. Here's the difference, though. Both us, our people, and the Jews are special people because we come from divine origins. This is very, very – I know we don't have time to go into this now, Dan. This might be a topic for next weekend or the weekend after. But we are – of divine origin. There's two types of divine origin on this planet. There's Lucifer's. Remember, Lucifer's a divine being. The fallen angels are divine beings. Okay? Our Heavenly Father is a divine being. So there's two sets of divine beings on the planet. We have... I'm sorry, guys. Oh, hold on a second.
Technical difficulties.
Yes, my puppy is jumping all over my wires and getting tangled up in them. Bear with me for a second. I'm sorry, guys. This is so important. It's a long time it should happen because this is extremely important.
Okay, I'm back. So there's two sets of divine, right? We both come from divine origins. We come from our father, who's a divine being, and the serpent seed Jews come from their father, who's also a divine being. Then there's everybody else. Okay? This is a concept that you must grasp. So there's two sets of divine people fighting out this battle. The only problem is our people don't even know we're at war. Okay, that's the problem. That's the whole problem here. They don't realize that we're at war. And when you tell them we're at war, they look at you like you got four heads. So I'll end it there, Dan. I'm done with that here today. Just remember, there's two divine races on this planet, the white race and the Jew race. Some people say, oh, they're not a race. You know, whatever, dude. They're a race. They have divine, they're divine people. They're divine from the Satan, the fallen angels. So there's two sets of divine beings on this planet, and we're at war. The other people are just used for collateral damage, cannon fodder. They're just there. They just exist. They'll always exist. They've been here for hundreds of millions of years, right, the other people? They've been here for hundreds of millions of years. Us and the Jews have not. Us and the Jews have only been here for about, I don't know, 7,500, Dan. Is that about right?
In my best guess, yeah.
Best guess, about 7,500 years. The other people have been here for millions. They'll always be here. So the battle is between two divine races, one from the good divine and one from the evil divine race. Okay, if you think about life like that, you'll make it through this. If you don't, you're in big trouble. Dan, back to you.
Yeah, well said. Well said. You know, again, we're learning all the time, and one of the beautiful things is that we are doing what the scripture tells us is a fellowship here. We're putting line upon line, precept upon precept, because what we're finding out, and I'm going to try to get John McTamies to come on and talk about his Obrey project, where he has done the research and found out that most of the manuscripts that we have got, most of our English translations from, are corrupt. Now, it doesn't mean there isn't any truth in them whatsoever. It just means some critical information has been left out. Case in point, when Christ says, forgive them for they know not what they do, in the Berean Interlinear Bible, which comes from the Greek, when it's properly translated, what he actually said, and makes perfect sense, is forgive them not, for they know what they do. Because if you look at the rest of Scripture, we're not even supposed to pray for those who do wicked and evil things. We're not supposed to pray for them. And so we're supposed to forgive the people that crucified Christ?
Let me interject real quick. We are not even supposed to entertain or invite people into our house who are not Christ believers.
Right.
Okay? I mean, this is... This is how serious it is.
Yeah. What do we have in common, the children of light, with the children of darkness? And again, light and darkness in scriptural terms is idiomatic in expression of light being rational thinking, intelligence, truth, honesty, justice, and darkness representing ignorance, apathy, sociopathic behavior, etc. So, again, the two have nothing in common. How can they walk together, as Scripture puts it? How do you walk together? And we're finding that out. As you said, we should not be depressed because he told us this is what's going to happen. The two camps cannot live in the same space together. Okay? They're not. We're not equal with them, and they're not equal to us. We're just completely different creatures. And so this is coming to a head. We just have to stay strong, stay in fellowship with one another. Another thing about depression, folks, is don't run for antidepressants. As Ella, our nurse, has said, antidepressants can interfere with your libido, by the way, guys, and also your performance. So antidepressants are no good. Pharmaceuticals in general are no good. If you're feeling depressed, do what my brothers do, and they either call me or one of the others amongst our group, because that's what fellowship is all about. Discipleship and fellowship is communicating not only to discover new truths and to lift each other up, but to help each other if we're having a down day. So reach out to your brethren, and, you know, if you're having a down day, your brother's probably doing okay, and he can grab a hold of your hand and lift you up. And vice versa, when you're having your down day, reach out to another brother and lift each other up. So everything in Scripture, as far as that stuff goes, is true in the sense that empirical evidence verifies it. So closing comments, Keith?
Yeah, I think you summed up the depression thing. Good. Get in contact with Dan, you know, call Dan. That's what he's there to help you guys. But you have to keep all this big picture in mind here. Genesis 3:15, right? That's what life is about. You're born at this time for a specific reason. You're put here for a specific reason. We've discussed my thoughts on why I believe that you're here and why I'm here is for certain things that we discussed in the past. I'm not going to re-go through it now here. But keep in mind, guys, you're divine. You are one of God's children. I know that's tough to grasp because it's a strange concept to think about, right? But you are from a divine origin, okay? Keep that in mind. You're special. Act like you're special. Walk around like you're special. Walk with confidence. Walk with your head up. Walk with your shoulders back. You're one of God's people. How wonderful is that? There couldn't be anything more wonderful than that on this planet. To know that you're one of God's creatures, he came up with you, he breathed his spirit into you, and you represent him on this planet. So act like it. And yeah, I got a lot of flaws, guys. I got tons of flaws, lots of them. I mess up every single day. But if you keep in mind, after you mess up, God, I'm sorry I messed up. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Father. I'm sorry I did that today. Well, I'm an idiot. You know, please help me through this. Grant me wisdom. Grant me courage. Grant me strength. Grant me emotional stability. Take me out of this depression. Please guide my life today. I'm going to submit to you. Okay, if you live a life like that, it makes it a lot easier. It's still going to be difficult because it's meant to be difficult. This is not supposed to be an easy walk. He's testing you right now. Every day is a test. Keep this in mind, guys. It's going to get – if you think it's hard now, I don't know what to tell you. This is like kindergarten we're in now, okay? When we get to high school in this, look out. It's going to be rather brutal. So get yourself in order now. Get yourself right spiritually, mentally, and physically now. And then whatever comes our way, face it. And if that means that you have to perish from this planet in a certain situation, then you have to perish from this planet. But if you do, don't worry, because you go somewhere that's better. Okay? When Judgment Day comes and the books are opened, that's what we're looking forward to is that, okay? We're looking forward to that day when Judgment Day comes. And hopefully you did what you're supposed to do, and you get the rewards when the new heaven and the new earth appear. And we can live a godly life and forget about all this nonsense that the enemy, satanic race, puts in front of us. That's all I got to say, Dan. Everybody have a good weekend, a good day today. Take care of yourselves and your family, and go out and buy food.
All right, Keith. Yeah, thanks a lot, buddy. Yahweh bless both of you up there, and stay safe. Okay, John, any closing comments, buddy?
No, sir. I don't have any, but may Yahweh bless all of you. And I hope to be here again next Sunday with all of you again and always, and also on Wednesdays. Take care of yourselves and always watch your backs. Yahweh bless all of you. Have a great day.
Yep. Yahweh bless, John. Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen. And again, that's John here in South Florida and Keith Kerr out there in Washington State joining us today. I don't know. It's just amazing to me what I'm witnessing. It's it's stupefying in many ways. It's almost like, is this just a bad movie, or am I having a dream and I'm going to wake up from it? It's unbelievable, the dystopia that's out there, and it's all man-made. It's all propaganda-driven, and people buy it. They just refuse to use the abilities that our God gave us in our own bodies to critically think and to question everything, which is healthy. We should. Where this concept of just accept it because somebody else is smarter than you, well, there's a chance they might be smarter than you, but that, okay? I've talked to many PhDs and people with bachelor's of science degrees, etc. I've talked to plenty of them that are, shall we say, not the sharpest tool in the shed. Not sure how they got their degrees. Maybe they bought it. Maybe they had somebody ghostwrite their thesis for them. That happens, especially in the case of minorities. That's been proven over and over again. So you can't trust everything. You can't take your, you know, put blinders on and just trust it. You're to question everything. And as we've told you on this program, don't even take what we talk about here at face value. You do your own research and do your own study, do your own testing, just as we've done, most of us here, okay? I have studied under many teachers, sometimes in person, sometimes by their materials. Okay, Bertrand Comparé is one of my most favorite identity teachers of all time. He was a lawyer in California, a successful lawyer, and he used his intellect and his discipline to become a lawyer in the studies that he put together. Was he perfect? Of course not. But he put together some damn good sermons on the basic issues of identity. If there's only one identity teacher that you're going to try to get up to speed with in a hurry, I would suggest getting his booklet called Your Heritage, which is a collection of his sermons. A lot of wisdom in there, just like the Bible. If you don't have the time to read the entire Bible constantly, then Psalms and Proverbs. Get into the Psalms and Proverbs. A lot of wisdom there, folks. A lot of admonitions and wise sayings that you should be putting to practice in your daily life. So, Messiah himself often quoted the prophets. He quoted the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. The New Testament didn't exist. So, obviously, he had nothing to say about that. But he talked about the prophets and the writings of the prophets. So a lot of wisdom there. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this chance to come together. We thank you for John calling in and Keith and sharing with us their information, for the listeners sending in their valuable tips, and for Ella, our practicing nurse out there, or retired nurse, actually, with all of her tips and wisdom and knowledge from her studies. We all come together in your name, Father, to bring about truth, to pass this truth out so that we can alleviate misery and torment and persecution of our brothers and sisters as we await for you to signal the time of the end, to put an end to this reign of the wicked upon this earth and bring about the new Jerusalem upon the earth. We believe that to be very soon, but that's your call to make, and we're just here as your humble servants. And we're going to do the best we can until you decide to put an end to this nonsense. So we ask that you would bless us with your Holy Spirit, cleanse us of all unrighteousness within us, give us a stiff backbone to stand tall and strong and in the face of adversity to always stand for truth and justice. And we just pray for an awakening amongst our people and that the Holy Spirit would minister to them to get them to realize that it's time to come back to the fold. Until that time, then, we ask again that you forgive us our sins, walk with us and guide us, protect us from our enemies. And we ask this in Yahweh's name. Hallelujah.